This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msbnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Vegas Runner now joining us here on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. We've got Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury, Part 2 coming up this weekend. Vegas Runner, what is Vegas saying? Where's the money going?
Nothing like Fight Night in Vegas. If you've never experienced it, it is really something to behold, especially if it's a big marquee matchup like we're having this Saturday. You're already seeing the excitement starting to build in the city. So when the weekend gets around, rest assured, it will be mayhem. Books are in a good spot, and here's why. We have a pretty much pick'em fight. It's a coin flip, kind of like the Super Bowl. And when that's the case, you're going to attract a lot of two-way action, because when it's a coin flip game or a coin flip fight, it's very highly probable you're going to have a difference of opinion that's pretty close to 50-50. And when you factor in their hold, their built-in edge, it's a great fight to book, almost like the Super Bowl, where it's very hard to lose money. The one phenomenon that happens in combat sports, unlike every other sport, is that we use a money line, and that forces most casual bettors to back the underdog. In other sports, NFL, baseball, even which has a money line, NBA, what have you, books know that the bias of the bettors is favorites. They like betting favorites, and they like to bet overs. They like to see points. In combat sports, it's the opposite. They tend to bet the underdog because they don't want to put up a lot of money to win a little. They want to put up a little money to win a lot. That usually puts the bettors on the side of the underdog, which ultimately means the sports books are hoping for the favorites. I mean, over the 10-year period of Floyd Mayweather's reign in boxing from 2005 to 2015, there were no bigger fans of Floyd Mayweather on Saturday nights when he walked into the MGM Grand than the sports books. They needed him to win pretty much each and every fight because there was so much money against Floyd Mayweather. We don't have that here. Here we have a ton of volume coming in on both men. So that's a good spot for the sports books. And from what I heard, that's pretty much all across town. And they don't think that's going to change. They believe up until fight time, we're going to continue to see good two-way action. Now, it's a little slightly heavier towards Deontay Wilder, not surprising, because of that recency bias. He fought last. That's what we remember. He finished his opponent. So there's going to be a little heavier on the Deontay Wilder side. But again, nothing near what we've seen in past big fights where the books definitely have a position that they prefer. That won't be the case on Saturday. They'll be fine regardless of the outcome.
I'm assuming that a Wilder knockout and a Fury win going the distance are probably not going to give you very good odds and give you a lot of value. Where is value on this fight?
You're absolutely right, because that's the narrative. I mean, we watched this fight a year ago, and we got the chance to see 36 minutes of it, and that's pretty much what it looks like. If Wilder is going to win the fight, he's going to have to finish him. He's not going to outbox him and win a decision. And Fury, not really being a finisher, it'll be dangerous for him to actually go for a finish against someone like Wilder. He probably should technically outbox him and beat him on the scorecards. At least that's the narrative going in. That's why there's no value on either of those two outcomes. I've covered combat sports for a while, and I bet combat sports even longer. With that said, the one thing I've learned betting combat sports is that the rematches rarely resemble the first fight. Because of the adjustments that are made, it almost never resembles that. So personally, I think you should, if you're going to approach this fight and look for value, to actually look for the opposite of what you saw last time. And what I mean by that is, if you like the Fury side, I really think you should sprinkle a little something on Fury by knockout, TKO, or DQ, on that prop where it's about 4.5, or close to 5-1. There you're getting some value. You're talking heavyweights, high probability of the fight ending in a knockout. And there's no reason why Fury can't do it. And for Deontay Wilder, I mean, I guess you could probably look to sprinkle maybe Wilder to win by decision. That's highly unlikely, but at least you get a nice return if that happens. And it's not impossible, because we saw last time it went 12 rounds and he got a draw, even though he was outboxed for pretty much every one of those rounds because of that devastating right hand, where he gets those 10-8 rounds by dropping his opponent. So I think if you like the Wilder side and you're going to bet him at minus 120, you may want to sprinkle a little something on that decision and get 7, 8, 9-1 on your money from what I'm hearing. So I think if you're going to bet this fight and look to try to get the best of it, that's probably where you're going to find it, by thinking out of the box and looking at something that's less likely to happen.
Vegas Runner, if you're looking for, you know, a bet other than who wins or loses, if you're just looking to see the distance, these two went the full 12 rounds in their first fight. Where's the better value trying to in terms of where the fight might end?
I think the under 10.5 rounds, which means it ends before a minute 30 of round 11, I think that's a good bet. Again, we're talking about heavyweights. There's a lot of randomness involved when it comes to heavyweight fights, whether it's MMA or boxing. There is that randomness. And again, I think this one has a very high likelihood of ending in a knockout, even from what we saw last time. I mean, again, Fury had to get up off the mat 2 times, and once in the pretty much the last round where you have very little left. And also, we saw Fury hurt Wilder. He hurt him in that first round, and he hurt him later. But more importantly, Fury didn't go for that kill in that first round when he had him hurt, because this is a guy who had lost 100-plus pounds, didn't have much tune-up fights or any big fight prior. So I think the under is the side that I'm looking at as far as if I'm going to bet the total rounds. I don't think the over is offering you much value on laying money to get there.
Vegas Runner, with the whole Houston Astros Major League Baseball cheating scandal, what's been the scuttlebutt in Vegas with people that you've talked to?
You know, the truth is, from a betting perspective, it really hasn't affected it. It's great for discussion and water cooler talk, but as far as out on the strip or in the sports books, if it's not affecting the betting lines, no one really cares, to be honest with you. But again, people are going to try to find ways of how can you possibly extract some kind of value from this. You know, is that now the team to beat? Teams may be a little extra motivated at certain times, and maybe, but I don't really think from a betting perspective, it's really gotten much attention out here. At least I haven't seen it or heard anything from sportsbook managers even to saying that that's had an effect on their handle in one way or another.
When you're looking at this NCAA tournament, is Vegas in the odds that you can get for individual teams have it set up to be as wacky as most of us believe it's going to end up being?
Oh, for sure. Because it's that kind of tournament. I mean, again, if you look back, they're similar. I mean, there's always those one or two teams that are the elites, and then there's 7-8 teams that are live. I mean, you know, when you have a 60-plus team field, that's what's going to happen. But because you don't have those big names, and what I mean by that is you don't have the North Carolinas up at the top, you don't have Duke up at the top. You know, Duke's a 4-loss team. North Carolina's not even there. Villanova, who's been a public team of late, those names aren't up at the top. And instead, we're looking at San Diego State, Baylor, Gonzaga, Dayton. Because of those teams, I think you're going to see some value in that futures market. and the pricing is harder for sports books. But let's not forget, I've stressed this a lot on your show, that it's almost impossible for them to lose money on futures because the hold is so high. It's like parimutuel betting at the horse track. As money comes in on one horse, the odds change based on that money. And it's the same with the futures market. That's why you get a difference of odds from one property to the next. You could cross the street and get a much different price on a team to win the World Series or the NCAA championship because it's more or less odds are based on the money that's in the pool. But again, the hold is so high, they almost never lose money. And when it comes to March Madness, more times than not, most of the money gets concentrated on those Cinderellas that just don't get there and those, you know, number one or two ranked teams just don't pay well enough for it to ever hurt them. I don't remember, at least in my time, I don't remember an NCAA championship winner, which really hurt them.
Vegas Runner, with the NFL draft coming up, Joe Burrow's been such a prohibitive favorite to go number one, but he's added some intrigue into it this week, saying he's got leverage. Will that do anything to move the line if you were betting Joe Burrow number one, or is it just so he's such a prohibitive favorite, there's just no need in even betting that?
There really isn't. I mean, it's one of those bets where we call one line, one-sided line, where they only want money on one side, and that's against Joe Burrow going number one, because they're so confident that he will go number one that they almost price it out of, you know, where it just is impossible for you to look any other way. That's they do that with a lot of these type of bets where it's just the likelihood is the certainty is so high they just don't even want to take any risk. So if anything, they're inviting money that he doesn't go number one, and they want to be on the side that he does go number one because that's going to be the case. I mean, we already know Cincinnati said it. He's got no leverage. He's got no choice. If they want to take him number one, he's going number one, and he's going to be playing in Cincinnati whether he likes it or not, unfortunately.
Vegas Runner, always great stuff. Going to be exciting. We've got Fight Night coming up in Vegas this weekend. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the fight this weekend.
Vegas Runner joining us here on Three Man Front on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. It's your favorite retailer now in three flavors, strawberry, mango, or black cherry. Only 100 calories and 2 carbs, gluten-free.
This is Three Man Front.